Hey, good morning. If you would, take a moment, and if you have your Bibles with you today, open them to Galatians chapter 1. And as you turn there, I just want to acknowledge something, because I think sometimes as followers of Jesus, and just I think part of the human nature is that we have a bit of amnesia. And I just want to, for a moment, acknowledge the reality of what God is doing here at Southgate. And a few weeks ago, we had a gentleman who was a little bit older that came to Christ, and in a few weeks, he's going to be following the Lord in believers' baptism. Today, one of our students is coming, and at camp, he put his faith and trust in Christ, and he's going to follow the Lord in believers' baptism. We had a young man that potentially surrendered in the ministry. We've got Vacation Bible School this week. We're sending out a group to Chicago this coming week. And over, we just continue to see the hand of God move, the hand of God work. And I think we would be remiss if we didn't acknowledge the reality that God is moving. Amen? We'd be remiss. And one of the things that I want you to understand about me as your pastor is that most every morning I get up and I take a walk in our neighborhood and I spend time in prayer. And almost every day I thank God for the privilege that it is for me to be a pastor, to be the pastor of Southgate. I thank God for this church, even though I'm still incredibly new here. And I pray, I say, God, would you please help our church to be unified? And I ask God, I said, God, help us to be one in word. Help us to be one in mission. Help us to be one in the message and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because I think one of the hardest things to do as a husband, as a dad, as a father, you know, and even as a pastor, is to keep everybody on the same page, to keep everybody focused on the mission and the message of Jesus Christ. Because inherently, as human beings, we struggle to want what we want and we desire what we desire. And oftentimes, those desires, while not evil or sinful to some degree, can cause us to become distracted from or divided in the message and the mission that Jesus has called us to be a part of. And this week, I sat in my office and I listened to the testimony of a gentleman who came to Christ, and he shared with me how he was able then, this week, to share the gospel with his two sons. And I don't know about you, but that's kind of how it starts. One gets saved, then two gets saved, then four gets saved, then eight gets saved, and then God just multiplies this thing, and then we see a moving work of the Holy Spirit that's supernatural. And it's something that we can't explain. And I don't know about you, but that's my heart and that's my desire for Southgate. And I pray and trust that that would be the heart of this church as well. That we would just align together and we would recognize that we're all different in personality. We're different. I'm going to talk about this morning. We're different in personality. We're different in preference. We're different in the way we look. We're different in the food that we enjoy. I mean, we're different on so many levels, and I thank God for that. Because if we were all alike, we'd be a cult, right? And at the end of the day, what I find beautiful about the gospel of Jesus Christ is he takes the most knuckleheaded people, he takes misfits that are incredibly different, and he brings them together so that men and women here and around the world can know who Jesus is. And I don't know about you, but I want some of that for my life. I want to leave a legacy. I want this church to have a legacy where we live out the mission of Jesus Christ. We're not here to play games. We're not here to come to church as usual. And we're willing to say that a growing church is always in transition. And we acknowledge the reality that sometimes God just wants to shake things up and for us to step out in faith and see him do what only he can do. And all of God's people said, amen. Now, we're in this series called Attack the Heart. And that's one of the fascinating things about Jesus is that when we think about who we are and what we do, we have a tendency to focus on what we do at the expense of who we are. And in this series, we're studying different areas of our life, and not all of them, but certain areas that attack the heart. Things that sincerely and truly impact what we do, because very rarely do we address who we are. And these are real issues that have an impact on us emotionally and spiritually and even mentally at some times. And God wants to rescue us from our sinfulness, and God wants to rescue us from our brokenness. Solomon said in the book of Proverbs in the Old Testament, he says, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. And so the big idea and the thing that we want to talk about this morning is this truth: seek God's approval, not the approval of others. And that's what we want to discuss this morning, is seek God's approval, not the approval of others. And I believe for many in this room that for you, approval is a lot like needing a drug, very much like a heroin addict would need a needle for his vein to feel the relief and the pleasure of and the euphoria of existing. And for many of us, we don't exist unless people approve of us. The Proverbs 29:25 says, the fear of man lays a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is safe. And so this morning, we need to be careful not to allow the opinions of others to control us and to define us. And it doesn't matter this morning if you're a young person, a student, a college student, young married. It doesn't matter if you've been married for some time. Most of us, to some degree, at some point in our life, have struggled with worrying about and being concerned with what other people think about us, and not in a healthy way. The Bible says the fear of man lays a snare. The word snare in this text is a word picture of a trap used for catching birds and animals, typically one having a noose or a wire or a cord. It's kind of like trapping an animal with a noose or a cord. And for many of us, we have a rope around our neck and it's destroying us. And that noose is called approval. To put it simply, many of us, we replace God with people. And instead of a biblically guided fear of the Lord, we fear others, and people become big, and God gets real small. There are other names that we might identify with the fear of man, or approval, peer pressure, people-pleasing, codependency. And for many of you, you're overcommitted because you can't say no to others because you're afraid they may not like you or they may not be pleased with you if you say no. That's not a part of my journey right now. That's not a part of my plan right now. No, I can't do this for you. And so we can define it in many ways. In fact, if you're anything like me, maybe you've struggled with some element of this. Over the years, I certainly have struggled with insecurity. I've struggled with the approval of others. And yet, slowly over time, God's allowed me, by His grace and because of His gospel, to make strides in this area of my life. In fact, several years ago, when we lived in our first house in Chicago on Blaine Street, I remember vividly pulling into our home on Blaine Street and pulling into the garage of our old house and saying to my wife, man, I just don't know. I don't know if I'm ever going to beat this struggle with anxiety. I don't know if I'm ever going to overcome the desire to have the approval of others. For years, I struggled with the drug of approval, like a heroin addict. I just needed it in my life to feel validated. I needed it to feel like I had worth. And yet God has been so faithful, and God has been so patient. And this morning, I'm here to encourage you. I'm here to give you hope, because what God has done in my life, God can and will do in your life when it comes to the area of approval. And in Galatians chapter 1, Paul begins to address this very issue. And he says in chapter 1, verse 6, he says, I'm astonished that you're so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and turning to a different gospel. Not that there's another gospel, or not that there's another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one that we preach to you, let him be accursed. And as we have said before, and so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one that you received, let him be accursed. And then he says in verse 10, and this will be the focus of our text and teaching today, he says, For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? And then he says, if I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. I don't know about you, but I am so thankful that God's word speaks to the actual issues that I face in my life. Can I get an amen on that? And I don't know about you, but I'm glad that God speaks to some of this stuff, because I'd be a train wreck. This morning, you don't have to live trapped by the approval of others. You don't have to live with anxiety and wondering if others like you, if others approve of you, if others find worth in you. There's real hope. And so I ask you this morning, whose approval are you seeking? Is it a teacher? Is it a coach? Is it a boss? Is it a spouse? Is it your kids? I just want my kids to love me. I want my kids to approve. I want to be friends with my kids. Maybe it's a parent, or maybe it's a friend. What's fascinating and what's real is that there were people in the Word of God that actually struggled with this very issue. They struggled with the approval of others. In fact, we see it recorded here in the Word that Paul was encouraging the church to seek God's approval. In fact, in this text and later on in the book of Galatians, we see that Paul had to step toe-to-toe with the Apostle Peter and correct him in this area of finding approval in others at the expense of the gospel. And so Paul lays out three powerful truths that will help us to move from seeking approval from man to seeking approval from God. And it begins, first of all, this morning with stop chasing man's approval. Stop chasing man's approval. Paul is confronting some real issues in the church. We see that in verses 6, 7, 8, and 9. There were leaders and teachers teaching that you had to be circumcised in order to be saved. And listen, that's no different than it is today in our churches. We become self-righteous and we say, well, hey, I don't do this, or hey, I don't do that, or hey, I do this and you don't do that. And we elevate our righteousness and the things we do above and beyond the gospel of Jesus Christ and the finished work of Christ on the cross. And Paul was addressing this. He says, listen, you ought to be accursed if you add anything to the gospel except for Jesus Christ. And so Peter, even after a vision from God, folded to his Jewish brothers when he should have stood for what was true and what was right. And so at one point, Peter is hanging out with the Gentiles. He's breaking bread with the Gentiles. He's taking the gospel to the Gentiles. And now Peter's in a moment where he's rolling with his Jewish brothers. And his Jewish brothers would not accept the gospel and the salvation of the Gentiles. And so Peter wouldn't even sit and have a meal with those Gentiles who had put their complete faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Now, I want to tell you this morning, the approval of others can be very dangerous. And we see why in this text, because in verses 6 through 9, it will cause you to compromise what you believe. The approval of others will cause you to compromise what you believe. Paul not only had to confront the false teachers, but he had to confront Peter. I mean, here's a guy, Peter, who God used to start the very first church ever. The first church ever. We didn't even know what a church was. It was an ecclesia. It was a called out group, gathering of people that believed in the mission and the message of Jesus Christ. Peter started that, empowered and led by the Holy Spirit and commissioned by God himself. And so Peter did that. And yet, the Bible says that Peter was mixing grace and Judaism. He was mixing it with circumcision. So one minute, Peter's sharing the gospel with the Gentiles, and the next, he won't even sit at the same table with them because of those who believe this garbage. And just a side note, racism, prejudice, and legalism is nothing new. It's existed for years, thousands of years. You can follow it all the way back to the book of Genesis. It's been going on for centuries. Which is why, more than anything, we need to attack the heart with the truth of the Word of God. Programs, CRT, none of that stuff is going to fix the brokenness that's found in the heart of men and women. The only thing that can break through racism and prejudice and legalism is the sweetness and the goodness of the grace of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. The reality is that when you chase the approval of others, your pursuit will lead you to a place where you just want to fit in. I pray for our students. I pray for our college students. Shoot, I pray for our young families, and I pray for many of you that you would not compromise what you believe simply because you want to fit in, simply because you want someone to like you. But instead of forfeiting your beliefs, I want to challenge you to build your life on the gospel. Because when your faith is built on the foundation of the gospel, the fear of others diminishes, and you can live with confidence that you are loved, you are treasured, and you are cherished by God forever. Because see, understanding God's affection for you diminishes. It diminishes the need for approval. Now listen, I'll say this as kindly as I can, and I certainly don't mean to be arrogant in any way, but at the end of the day, I want to get to a place in my life where I don't need you. I don't need my kids to like me. I don't need my wife to like me. I don't need the church to approve of me. At the end of the day, I want to get to the place of my life where I live for an audience of one. I live for the one who I choose to obey and who has called me to do that which is right. And that is what it means to have character and to be a mature follower and a believer of Jesus Christ. And so understanding God's affection for you diminishes the need for approval. Now listen, do I want you to like me? Well, certainly I do. I mean, hopefully you'll invite me to lunch today, right? I mean, certainly I like people and I want to spend time with them, but I certainly do not want to be defined by and discouraged by whether or not you like me on a given day. But in this life, we all make mistakes. We fail and we sin and nothing will ever change. You know that this morning? Nothing will ever change the way God feels about you. Nothing. That's good news today. Nothing will ever change the way God feels about you. And that's powerful when it comes to ending the pursuit of man's approval. It compromises what you believe, but it can also compromise who you are. Verse 10, Paul's like asking some legit questions, and he says, look, am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Am I trying to please man? Is that the goal? Is that the win? Is that what I'm supposed to be about? No, man. Like Paul, we have a calling. We're disciples, and we make disciples. Paul was called to preach the gospel, plant churches, and to do so boldly, and to do it unapologetically. You cannot fulfill your calling while chasing the approval of those around you. Not everyone's going to like you. Not everyone's going to like what you do. They're certainly not going to like how you do it. I want to come back to this in just a moment, but I want you to see that Paul was challenging us not to compromise who we are. Because at the end of the day, our greatest calling, my greatest calling, is not to be a dad. It's not to be a husband. It's certainly not even to be the pastor of this church. My primary calling is to be a follower of Jesus Christ. I'm to know him, I'm to love him, I'm to pursue him, I'm to obey him, I'm to be defined by him, I'm to be transformed by him. He is the preeminent one in my life. And he says in this passage of scripture that if I try to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. And this speaks to our identity. This speaks to who we are as a person. It speaks to our calling. And when you live life to pursue the approval of others, you'll be a shell of the person that God wants you to be. Let me say that again. If you live for the approval of others, you'll be a shell of the person that God has called you and wants you to be. At the end of the day, you need to be you. You need to be you. You don't need to be anybody else. As a pastor, I don't need to be D.L. Moody or Billy Graham or Charles Spurgeon. I don't need to be any other pastor that's lifted up in our generation. God has simply called me to be Jason Workman, and I need to be the best Jason Workman that I can be so that I can reach the people that God has called me to be, because he has uniquely gifted me, he's uniquely designed me, he's uniquely equipped me and called me to do what he's called me to do and not someone else, and no one else can do what I do. And in the same way, no one can do what you do. No one can do what God's called you to do. No one can reach the people that God wants you to reach. No one can walk the path that God has called you to walk. And I want to tell you this morning, you may not like who you are. You may not like how you look. You may not like how you talk. You may not. There might be something about your personality that you find absurd. But I want to tell you this morning, God loves you. And God doesn't want to change you. He doesn't want to change your personality. He doesn't want to change your genetic makeup. God wants to transform the sinful parts of your life, but God wants to use the parts of your life that might seem unseemly to you. Any changes that you should make because God is transforming you to be more like him. You know, the closer that you follow him and serve him, you're going to serve others, and you're going to find that you become the person that God created you to be, and this is what we chase. Now, I just by admission, I'll share with you this morning, if you don't hold it against me, but I could be a pretty stubborn individual. And Brandy's laughing at me because I told her this week that she too could be stubborn. You're laughing. I'm gonna call you out for laughing at me. She's right. Amen. But I admitted that. We were talking to staff meeting this week, and I know I have a daughter on the front row. I won't tell you which one, but it's the oldest one. And she too has this stubbornness about her. There's a fight. There's a grit to her that she has conviction. Now, as a parent, you know, sometimes I just need a yes, sir. Can I get an amen, parents? Right? But I shared with my daughter, I shared with Brandy, and I remind myself of this truth that stubbornness that God has given me could be used for righteousness and it could be used for unrighteousness. And I want to make sure that in my stubbornness that God has gifted me to have, that I use it in a way that honors God and advances the kingdom of Jesus Christ. I want to be a man of conviction. I want to be a man that stands for something. I want to have grit, and I want to have the wherewithal to be faithful to the end until Christ calls me home or until he returns. And there is a stubbornness in that that can be righteous. And some people may look at me and they may say, well, you know, he's just a stubborn individual and he just wants to get his way. He just doesn't want to budge. Maybe, or just maybe, God has called me and Brandy and Ellie and others like us to be people that hold to our convictions. We hold to our beliefs. We believe and we're convinced that God has something for us and for those that we lead so that we can accomplish more for the cause of Jesus Christ. Now, in that, I recognize that I too need to recognize that there are changes in moments of transforming that God needs to do. And so over the years, I've had to learn humility. And God has a way of taking stubborn people and humiliating them to the place where he removes the pride so that we have a learner's disposition. You know, you'll often hear me say, you know, I think I'm right, but I could be wrong. But we're going to roll with this until God gives us a new direction. And so learn to be yourself. Don't change for the wrong reasons. Change the sinful parts of your life. Be content with the person that God's created you to be because there's nothing wrong with you. God didn't make a mistake when you were born. He ordained you to be you. And in fact, the Bible says that your days were written before as yet there was any of them. And when he thinks about you, his thoughts towards you are more precious than they're more in number than the sands that are on the seashore. Amen? And so God is not upset with you. God is not embarrassed by you. Like you're not one of the weirdos in the kingdom, right? I mean, God loves you. And he didn't make a mistake. And so we see in this text that God, ultimately, that we're called to stop chasing the approval of others. But secondly, we see that we're to strengthen our conviction of God's opinion. The only thing that mattered to Paul was pleasing God. And we see that in verse 10. And we see it in this text. It seems everywhere he went, Paul faced opposition. He had enemies in the church. He had enemies in the government. Very few people stood with him. I mean, Paul comes down to the end of his life, and if you read 2 Timothy chapter 4, it's the pastoral epistle. He's in prison, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he's giving his final words to Timothy and to the church, and he says, preach the word. And then he goes on to say, he goes, hey, listen, Demas left me, having loved the present world. And he says, you know, no one stood with me. I mean, here's the Apostle Paul. I mean, this dude planted churches all over the known world. I mean, he was a rock star when it came to church planting. No one stood up for Paul. And this is what he says. Only Luke is with me. Now, have you ever read the Gospel of Luke? It's the longest book in the Bible. He's super detailed. He was a doctor. And most of the time, nobody wants to hang out with a doctor because they're just verbose, right? And that was Paul. He just didn't want to roll with that guy. But he said, hey, you know, well, Luke stood with me. It was almost like a knock against Luke. That no one's with me. Very few people stood with him. And he was in prison for doing what God wanted him to do and advance the gospel to those without Jesus. And you'd think his journey would be smooth sailing. In fact, when he was shipwrecked on an island, he's sitting there preaching and sharing the gospel, and a viper or snake pops out of the fire and bites him. And I'd be like, God, are you kidding me? Really? I mean, he couldn't catch a break. You think that everyone would have been on board with what he's trying to accomplish instead. He had been hurt, betrayed, criticized for his appearance, his manners, and his even way of speaking. Couldn't catch a break, but he had conviction. His life aim was to please God. In 2 Corinthians 5:7, he says, I made it my aim. I made it my ambition. It was my goal to please God. That was it. I just wanted to please God. All he wanted to do was honor him. He wanted to obey, and a conviction about obedience will conquer your fears. When you live your life to obey God and you follow his will, your fears will dissipate, your faith will grow, you will have confidence to live fearlessly, and the opinion of others will matter less, and the opinion of God will matter more. That's what it means to strengthen the conviction of God's opinion. You see, the most radical treatment of facing approval of others is the fear of, or the fear of man, is just the reality that God needs to be bigger than people are. God has to be bigger. His opinion has to matter more. Not everyone's going to like you. They're not going to like your style, your personality. They're not going to like some quirk about your life, and that's okay because we're all different. And one of the things that I would challenge our church on this morning, in one area I think many Christians need to grow and must grow, is in the area of love. We need to grow in our love. We need to grow in our love. I keep saying that because I'm waiting for an amen. We need to grow in our love. We're too hard on each other. We don't let love and trust fill the cracks. We're too quick to judge. We tear down. We gossip about each other. And friends, we got to do better. And until then, Paul's teaching us that we may never be able to please everyone and anyone. And we may never measure up to everyone else's expectations. But there's one thing that we can do. We can live to please, honor, and obey God. We can do that. When God is bigger than people, we can say no. We can let go of the anxiety of trying to please everyone, and we can forget trying to fit in, because when my conviction is to please God with my life, it doesn't matter who's pleased with me as long as I know that God is approved of my life and my work. And so he strengthened the conviction of God's opinion. And then simply, the last thing is simply commit to your calling. And that's what Paul is talking about. If I were trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. Paul's calling over and over in the New Testament was that of a servant. We don't like that word servant. We use words today like volunteer. The word servant is the word doulos. It means one, a slave who was purchased. The word could actually be translated slave. Paul was called a bond slave over and over to Christ. He was called a bond slave to others. One way we could define this is that we are a slave to one and a servant to all. We're a slave to one and a servant to all. That's our calling. That's our identity. That's what God's called us to be. Too often we overcomplicate our lives. Paul just simply understood his role. He knew that first and foremost, he was a servant of God and he was a servant of others. That was it. I'm not a pastor. I'm not a dad. I'm not a husband. Those aren't my roles. I'm a slave to Christ and a servant to others. I'm a servant to my wife. I'm a servant to my kids. And I certainly don't always live up to that calling, but that's certainly the pursuit of the life that we should live. Paul wanted to live for God and love the people that God had called him to love. And when you're more concerned about what people think about you, listen to this. When you're more concerned about what people think about you, you'll never love them and you'll never serve them the way that God intended for you to love and serve them. And you'll be trapped. See, his calling and our calling is to love and serve people, not use them to feel good about ourselves. You hear me? We're not here to use people to serve in serving them so that we can feel good about ourselves, so that we can get an attaboy or a thank you note or a gift card or some recognition. That's not the calling. We're not people in our lives, my wife, my kids, this church, listen, you're not here to build my self-esteem and my self-worth. You see, Paul understood that he was put on this earth to do one thing, and that was to point people to Jesus Christ. That was it. He was put on this earth for that purpose. He was here to serve them, and so many of our problems would be solved if we could learn how to love and serve one another without any expectations. Man, could you imagine what would happen in your marriage, in your home, even in this church, if we could just serve one another without any expectations? Man, that would be incredible. Ed Welch says in his book, When People Are Big and God Is Small, he says, the task that God sets for us is to need them less and love them more. He's simply saying that the goal of the disciple of Christ who's really working through this area of approval is to need people less and just simply love them more. Our greatest need this morning, every single one of us, whether you follow Christ or not, is the righteousness of God. And our greatest calling as a disciple is to be a disciple that loves and serves others. And when this is our priority, approval of others will fade and your faith will grow. Because if you're chasing approval, eventually it will crush you. And so this morning I want to challenge you to stop using people for their approval and you'll be free to serve them. Stop using people for their approval and you'll be free to serve them. You'll be free to love them. There won't be expectations. There won't be this crushing sense of approval, this crushing sense of self-worth. Because in reality, we do live for an audience of one. And God's approval is our goal, not the approval of others. God loves us and he's called us to serve one another, and his opinion is the only opinion that matters. And when you live for him, you're set free from the trap of approval. I love in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 7, the Bible says, and I certainly struggle with this, wanting to do the right thing and yet wanting others to approve of what I'm doing. And I've been in church ministry long enough to know that in leadership, not everyone's always going to like the decisions that a leader makes. And I've often told younger pastors, I'd say to them, hey man, if you want everyone to like you, go sell ice cream. No one's ticked at the guy selling ice cream. No one's mad at that guy, you know? He just drives in his truck all day playing that creepy music and he hands out ice cream. When I was a kid, I'd tell my kids, like, don't ever go near that truck. It's a kidnap truck. Whenever you hear the music, run into the house. And it worked until they got older. But I love Proverbs 16:7 when it says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. That's the kind of life I want to live. This morning, instead of living on the hamster wheel of approval, put your faith in the one who loves you and has called you to live for more than the acceptance and approval of others. You got to live for something more. Following him frees you. Move out of this bondage by seeking God's approval, not the approval of others, and attack your heart with truth. Let his affection, demonstrated in the cross, deliver you from the despair of pleasing everyone without pleasing God. And this morning, the call to action is this, is step into living for God's approval, not others, and do that by living for him alone. Can I have every head bowed and every eye closed this morning? How many of you would say to me this morning, you know, Pastor Jason, I certainly know Christ is my Savior. I know that I'm right with God. I know that I've been forgiven of my sins. And I know that if I were to slip out into eternity today, heaven would be my home. This week, I had to sit with a family whose son, 24 years old, went home to be with the Lord. And I'm going to do a funeral later this week. And eternity just seems real this week. And how many of you this morning would say, I know for a certainty that I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. Would you lift your hand and let me see those hands this morning? Is there anyone that's here this morning that would say to me, Pastor Jason, I don't know with certainty that I'm right with God. I don't know that I'm forgiven my sins. I don't know that heaven is my home. Is there anyone that's like that that's here today that would say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I'd like to know that I'm right with God. Would you just let me pray with you this morning? Is there anyone that's like that here today? Now, how many of you say to me this morning, you know, Pastor Jason, I need to attack my heart. I struggle with the addiction to approval. I find my self-worth, I often find my identity, and I find myself being anxious and stressed out and discouraged and distracted from who God wants me to be and what God's called me to do simply because I live for the approval of others and not the approval of God. How many of you would say to me this morning, Pastor Jason, I need to step out in faith and live for God today. Would you just lift your hand and let me pray with you on that matter? Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, 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 yes. Anyone else? Yes, ma'am. Anyone else? Man, I'm living for the approval of others, and I'm struggling with this. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, would you stand to your feet this morning? Father in heaven, we thank you for Jesus Christ. We thank you for the gospel that shows us and teaches us and demonstrates to us how immeasurably, unconditionally loved we are by you. God, I thank you, Lord, that we can, with a singular focus, live for the one who died for us. That we can narrow it down and say that we can live our lives to be pleasing to God and not have to always worry about whether or not people are happy with us, whether or not they approve of us. We don't have to find our self-worth in those things. And Father, I pray for those that acknowledge today that they're living for something else other than the approval of God. And I just ask this morning, Lord, that we would honor you, respond accordingly to the preaching of the word of God, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.